Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So we are in the season of Lent, and we are focusing on the parables of Jesus as a way of challenging our perception in society and to think about those places of social injustice and how we may be part of God's justice work in the world. So today's reading comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, starting with verse 4 through 10. Hear now these words. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, as we continue this journey through the wilderness of a time of reflection and repentance and transformation, may we hear these parables in a new and powerful way, that we may be challenged in our understanding, that we may better understand your nature in the world and how we are called to be part of your beautiful creation. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when we look at these parables, there's usually three that are read successfully in succession. The first is the parable of the lost sheep, which I shared with you. The second is the parable of the lost coin. And then the next is the parable of the lost son, sometimes known as the prodigal son. We're only focusing on the first two, as we will be focusing on the third in another sermon. But what is it about these two parables that may challenge us today? And so I am curious, just participatory within the group, when you hear the story of the lost sheep and the shepherd who goes to leave the one, what do you think this parable means? I'm sorry? When we stray away from Jesus. And in that case, Susan, I'm assuming that you think the shepherd is a representation of Jesus, and now Jesus seeks out the one who is lost. Is that a common interpretation for a lot of us? Absolutely. What about the woman in the lost coin? What do y'all think that one means? You can say ditto, likewise, right? Like, I mean, because that's probably the line of thinking, is that's what we've been taught. And that is a very Christian perspective of these parables. And what we have to be challenged with is to go back in time to how the Jewish people would have heard these parables, right? Because we know that these are short stories of Jesus, and we have missed out on the interpretation of those parables, because even though Jesus shared these stories in large crowds, he gave the explanation behind closed doors to his disciples. And that we don't actually have record of. We just have what was shared out in public, right? And what also challenges us is to say, is this parable contained somewhere else? right? And so these parables are actually contained in Matthew as well. And so we are challenged because we have to remember that each gospel writer has a very specific intent and purpose in their writing, right? So not only do we have to take Jewish culture into account, first century hearers, but we also have to know that Matthew wrote for a very different purpose than Luke wrote. So Matthew, being the first gospel in the New Testament, was intended to be a bridge between the scriptures of the Jewish community into this new way. And so bridging and connecting and saying that Jesus really is the embodiment of all of these promises that had been made in these Jewish scriptures. He was the promised Messiah that we were waiting for. And so there are very clear connections and pieces that are important. Let me fast forward to Luke, because that is where our reading comes from today. So Luke was actually, in all likelihood, a Gentile doctor who interviewed all kinds of people, listened to people's stories, and did his best account retelling of what happened when Jesus was in the world and what that ministry looked like. And Luke was likely a travel companion of Paul as they, you know, carried the good news to all of the Gentiles and all of that. So we know that Luke had a very different perspective on what was recorded. And Luke tends to be the gospel for the ones that are the least, the last, and the lost. Have y'all heard that before? That Luke is the one for those that may find themselves outside of the fold of the Jewish community. And yet, this message of Jesus is meant for them as well. Right? So that is where we come, but I can tell you that although we interpret it as this idea that there is one that is lost and it is God who seeks us out, I don't disagree with that. I mean, goodness, that brings a lot of comfort to me when I have strayed and I need to be brought back into community. Here's the rub with that. So you have a flock of sheep of 100. That is a very large number of sheep, which means that the people who were tasked to care for these sheep would have been people of greater wealth, of resources. And I would wonder, how in the world would you count 100 sheep that tend to be moving in all over the place, right? So there is something about the fact that one got away, but in actuality, the fault of the one getting away belongs to the shepherd. Because what is the shepherd's job? The shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep and keep them all together. And upon realizing that the sheep was lost, the shepherd is trying to make right and bring the sheep back into the fold, right? And how many of you have ever touched a sheep or picked up a sheep? Are they easy to handle? No. No. Absolutely not. I mean, good grief, you would pick up the sheep. And we have this image of the sheep being thrown over the shoulders of the shepherd. And I could imagine that that sheep was probably bleeding out loud. Like, what are you doing? Kicking his legs. Like, it would have been a struggle to get that sheep back into that flock. Does that make sense? Yeah. It would have been a struggle to get that sheep back into the flock. And it was the shepherd who not only realized that that sheep had gotten away, but it was also the shepherd's job to make sure that sheep got back. And once the sheep got back, the shepherd said, "Hey, I'm having a party at my house. All are welcome. Celebrate with me that I have found the one that got away." And then we have the widow. Now, how many coins did she have? She had 10. And how many got lost? One. Now, the one coin would have been the equivalent of her life savings. Y'all ever do investment? You know, you need to have X number of dollars put away, and you know, that way. And then if a substantial part of that goes missing, do you feel the pinch and the rub of that? Absolutely. I mean, if, you know, someone says, oh my gosh, we're going to take 10% off the top, you're going to scramble a little bit because you're going to be worried about how you're going to be able to make ends meet. And what's interesting is that she has the one that gets lost. And she turns her house upside down to find that coin, right? She's sweeping in the corners. She's flipping on the light, well, lighting the lights because there's no electricity back there, you know. But once she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Do you hear the difference there? She acknowledges that it was her own fault for having lost something of such value. How often do we take responsibility or hold ourselves accountable when something important to us gets lost? Sometimes, if it's inconsequential, be like, oh, you know, I kind of lost that piece of paper, until it is your W-2 and you need to file your taxes. Do you know what I mean? Or, you know, you misplaced that your favorite purse, but you know what? You got 20 others in the closet that you could go to and pull out, right? Or, you know, the thing that I would lose the most and would regret the most is an umbrella that I leave behind somewhere and I'm caught out in the rain. Simple, but we realize that sometimes we don't realize what is lost until we don't have access to it anymore. Now, what's interesting about the celebration, at least in regards to the shepherd, that the Greek pronouns that were used would have been masculine, but it could have been inclusive of males and females, large crowds, right? Like everyone is going to celebrate. Now, when the woman invites to celebrate in her home, she actually uses feminine pronouns to celebrate what is found. That in and of itself is a complete turn of how women had authority and rights within that time and culture, right? So Luke is really setting us up for something totally upside down. So here's the trouble. Here's my, you know, place of speaking about social injustice and particularly for life within the church, right? We are called to be a community. And when we have the parable of the lost sheep and the 99 that remain, there's something about community, about the 99 who remain, right? That we are bound together. And in reflection of this, I thought, well, you know, maybe there's safety in numbers because it's not three losing one, but there's 100 who loses one. And while the shepherd is away trying to make right what is wrong, there are still the 99 left. How many of those 99 are above the need of repentance? Do they too have responsibility for the one who went away? That's a harder place to be because we want to be able to point and say, well, it was all the shepherd's fault. When in actuality, we all have a part in that. And we should feel it deeply within us when one of our own is no longer part of us. And we should desire just as much to bring that one back into community. But it might require repentance on all the levels. The community itself, the one who goes after, and the one who got away. That only in that can those relationships be repaired and brought back into how God intends them to be? Very different way of reading the parables compared to the one that we tend to lean into. And I think very important for us today, do our hearts hurt when we see someone who has heard maybe a message that is not rooted in an understanding of his God as a God of love? Do we hurt when we hear someone who has been harmed within the life of the church and says, I'm never stepping foot back into the sanctuary again? Or I can't believe those Christians because they're the biggest hypocrites I've ever seen in the world. These are hard things for us to wrestle with. And maybe for us, the season of Lent is a time to think about that. Hey, church, do we notice when one of our own gets lost? Do we pay attention to who we're sitting in the pews with that we haven't seen in a while? I know I'm just as much responsibility for that, and we all are. Do we seek them out and say, hey, can you help me understand how we could do this better? Can you help me understand how we can do things in a different way that you can experience the gift of God's grace, that you can experience God's love, that you can have the Holy Spirit full within you, that you can experience a fullness of life? Because until you do, I can't do it fully. So you have in your bulletin some challenges. And although it focuses on this thing that is lost and the one who seeks it out, this really is about community, about us as the gathered body of Christ. So you have some homework. When have you felt lost? When have you felt found? And sometimes our security is found in community. And so you're going to be invited to think about those places where loss might lead to insecurity for those God loves and how we can respond to that. That's our challenge. It's not just about coming here. It's about paying attention to what's happening in the world, to meet those needs, to say every person is loved by God. Every person can experience the gift of God's grace. Every person is part of who we are. And we are called to expand and grow this community. Who's with me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.